From the latest hip-hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. You know, I thought that by now I would have changed this intro. I was hoping that I would not have to, wish people well in these corona streets. But apparently, corona, as I like to call her, La Covida Maria, is in these streets, and she is not going anywhere. In fact, she and her sister, La Delta, are literally like ravaging the streets. And it's crazy because the reports that we're hearing about with respect to the transmission and the spreading of La Covida is by way of vaccinated people, right? The controversy continues. But it's getting crazy out there, guys. Seriously, it's getting crazy out there. Delta is going crazy. She's popping and locking. She's percolating at all our events, which I have said from the beginning that whenever there's these big events, COVID is there. COVID is pop, locking, and dropping with you. And so you guys need to be careful. I am a big proponent of the mask wearing, and I can tell you that the biggest mistake that the CDC and the world or United States or whatever did was to, you know, allow for the removal of masks within vaccinated people, right? Because look what's happening now. And I know that there's a lot of controversy around this. People are blaming unvaccinated people for the spread of Delta and all this other stuff. However, the vaccinated people were the ones out here pop, locking, and dropping once the CDC, you know, said that you don't have to wear masks anymore, right? They were out in droves. They're still out in droves going crazy. And again, you know, whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, whatever, I personally, you know, don't care. You have to do what's best for you. I think that people are out of control, you know, lately with the pressures that they're putting on people to do things when you don't know why they're not doing things, right? You don't know why somebody's not getting vaccinated. It could be a legit reason. But either way, that being aside, the CDC's recommendation that vaccinated people did not need to wear masks, clearly we see the error in that, right? Again, in the beginning, when people were getting vaccinated, but the mask mandate was still in order, we weren't seeing these numbers. We weren't hearing about all of this, right? Which leads me to, you know, this whole theory that it's the unvaccinated people that are spreading this. I think that can be debunked a little bit, because people were getting vaccinated and we weren't hearing about the numbers. In fact, there was a decrease, right? There was a decrease. Even with the unvaccinated population, there was a decrease in the numbers of the virus. But the moment that the mask mandates were lifted, Delta is percolating in the streets with all of us, right? And the crowds that I've seen of vaccinated people hanging out. There was an article in Bloomberg about Martha's Vineyard, and where, you know, that, I guess, was one of the beginning stages, right, of this Delta variant spread. It's one of those things where it's like there's so much controversy around it. Everybody wants to blame everyone. But I think at the end of the day, I think we can safely say that there was a great error in saying that masks were no longer needed amongst the vaccinated people, because look at where we are now. I know several vaccinated people who have caught COVID and who have caught COVID bad, because there's this idea that, well, you know, at least it can, you know, you'll get it in a mild way. You won't die. You won't go to the hospital. But you don't know that, right? You don't know if you're going to be the one to end up on the ventilator, which it has happened. So wear your mask, people. wear your mask, whether you're vaccinated. I mean, especially if you're not vaccinated, you definitely need to wear your mask. But if you're vaccinated, wear your mask. I know that that was an appeal for many of you. That's why you guys went out and got the vaccine, not because you really thought it was the best thing to do, but because you wanted to get back to normalcy. And I get it. We want to get back to normal, but the longer this thing plays out, I don't even know what normal is anymore, to be very honest. I have no idea what normal is anymore. I don't know what it feels like anymore. Like, I can't, my mind can't even go back to that time and really appreciate what normal was like. But we are living in the right now, and the right now dictates that we wear our masks, and that we social distance, and that we wash our hands, and that we do what's best for us, right? If vaccination is what's best for you and your family, and you don't have any barriers to keep you from doing that, then do that. If you cannot take the vaccine for medical reasons, or I don't know, religious reasons, or whatever, you know, the legitimate reasons are, then, you know, don't succumb to the pressure of society that's telling you to do something that might actually kill you. You know, I think we really need to sit back and think about, yes, we have to think about the greater good, but, you know, if there is a legitimate reason for somebody not to take, you know, this vaccine, whether it's medical or whatever, is the community going to pay for my funeral? Is the community going to take care of my family that I leave behind? Because these are real considerations, and these are real fears. You know, a lot of the propaganda out there is, you know, WhatsApp, YouTube, and these fake scientists that are out there. Yes, you know, there's a lot of people who don't really have real reasons as to why they're not doing certain things. But, you know, there are many people who do have legitimate reasons. So let's be kind to each other. Let's be kind to ourselves. But more importantly, wear your mask. Either way, that was my public service announcement. I did not plan this, but it came out. It happened. Either way, today we are going to do things a little bit different. I don't have a guest today, but I am going to talk about a couple of trending topics that have been in the news around the area of mental health, right? So we are in Olympic season. A lot of us have been aware that Simone Biles had recently withdrawn from, you know, several Olympic events. And even before Simone Biles, Naomi Osaka had withdrawn from Wimbledon and from the French Open. And, you know, these two women and their courageous decision to put themselves first has sparked a lot of controversy and a lot of conversation around mental health, which I think is important. I think it is important that we always keep mental health at the forefront, because it's so easy for it to slip to the back. So I want to talk about these two women and the circumstances around their withdrawals from their sports. And then I want to really just go in to talk about depression and anxiety and how we as a community, we need to do better in handling this topic with our friends and family, right? Depression is a real thing. Anxiety is a real thing. And in the era of, you know, La COVID Maria Delta, like, anxiety is real and depression is real. Like, we are, like, these times are crazy. They've been crazy. I mean, can you imagine a year and a half? We're slowly on our way to 2 years of dealing with this global pandemic. 2 years. Do you know how much damage that can do to somebody's psyche? So I really do want to touch on that. And before we get into the meat of the show, we do have our preliminaries. I am not going to skip out on them today. So it is now time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
I'm on fleek, the lit.
And it's going to be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week is water slapper. Water slapper means a swimmer, apparently. Example, a kid in my class is a water slapper. Now, I have never heard anyone in the urban community, even in the non-urban community, use the word water slapper. I don't know if it's a new thing. Urban Dictionary is always giving me something to scratch my head about, but apparently a swimmer, another way to refer to a swimmer or another way to call somebody who's a swimmer is a water slapper. If you guys are using this term, please let me know. I've never heard it before. I do not plan to incorporate this into my vocabulary, but apparently water slapper means a swimmer. So there you go. Now, it is now time for the Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. So this week's Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week is l'union fait la force. So many of you have heard this phrase. I mean, it's on the Haitian coat of arms. And those of you who are friends with Haitians, you know, you have heard this term at some point. You have seen it at some point, right? And especially within the last several weeks, right? I think it's going to be about a month now. Has it been about a month? It will be about a month now, almost. This week, I guess, will make a month. The end of this week will be a month since the head of state, the president of Haiti, Jovenel Moïse, was assassinated, right? And so the news of Haiti has been pumping into our news outlets, and a lot of you have been, you know, become familiar with Haitian politics and Haiti, and may have seen this l'union fait la force and might be wondering, well, what exactly does that mean? What is l'union fait la force? You might have even said it and have no idea what you're saying. So l'union fait la force means unity is strength, right? And I think that this is an important concept for us to use regardless of whether we're of Haitian descent or not. I feel like this should be the motto of the Black community. Unity is strength. We have seen time and time again where unity can get us, right? But what I hate about that is we see the unity when a tragedy arises. We see the unity when there is a mishap, when we're being disrespected, when, you know, things are going wrong. But I don't often see the unity in good times, right? Like, why must it always be when something goes wrong that we're all going to band together? And it's great that we can do that. But I think that an overall sense of unity would do wonders for our community, right? Like, just being unified on a day-to-day basis, being unified during the good times, not just the bad times. And so there is strength in unity. We've seen it. We know that it exists. But for whatever reason, it's hard for us to stay banded forever. There's always factions. There's always this group versus that group. There's always, you know, too many, what is it, cooks in a kitchen. You know, there's way too many hands in a pot. Like, everybody wants to be the one, and they don't understand that being a follower is also, you know, can also be a positive thing. But l'union fait la force is, you know, a motto that Haitians use. And again, you know, no one is perfect, right? Because people will be like, oh, well, Haiti is going through so many different things right now. You guys are all divided or whatever. Yeah, I mean, there's imperfection in unity as well too, right? But I think that this is something that we need to start really, you know, focusing on and figuring out how can we bring about more unity, because in unity is strength. There is power in numbers. We hear that all the time. There's power in numbers. There's power when we get together. And so let's focus on that. Let's dwell on this unity is strength, l'union fait la force concept, so that we can really move the needle forward, so that we could truly change the narrative of the Black diaspora, of our communities, and of us as individual people, right? So that is the Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. So now it's time for one of my favorite sections of this show. It is now time for the big up of the week. Watch it. And you feel big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. What? So this week's big up of the week goes to a gentleman by the name of Trey the Truth, who hails out of Houston, Texas. Texas has been in the news for a lot of things. Sometimes it's not always positive, but this time it is. So Trey the Truth, he's an American rapper, hails from Houston, Texas, and he did a good thing this week. He is... And the reason that he was selling this water is so that he could raise money to purchase clothes, right? School is, like I said, school is about to start for a lot of people, for a lot of kids, and he needed the money, right? His mother, single mom, raising four children in Houston, Texas, needed the assistance. So this young boy took it upon himself to, you know, do what he can to help his mother out, right? To help his family out. And so he engaged in this water selling activity to raise money to purchase school clothes. And so he was doing this for about 3 weeks, and their, you know, social media, thank God for social media, had kind of picked up on the story, and, you know, it went viral. And that's how Trey the Truth found out about this. And he decided to step in. And when he stepped in, he didn't just purchase clothes for this young man. He didn't just give him the money and say, hey, young man, put this in your pocket, go buy some clothes. He stepped in and purchased clothing and shoes for all of this young man's siblings, right? For both him and his siblings. And you know what? This is the epitome of we are each other's keeper, right? Again, as a collective, as a Black community, you know, I feel like we need to really strive for this community part, right? This is what we're supposed to do for each other, right? We're supposed to step in and we're supposed to help each other when we see that there is a need, especially if you have it, right? If you have it and you're able to do, even if it's just that one person that you're touching, you're doing something, right? You're pushing the needle forward and you are taking care of your fellow man. So I oftentimes big up the rappers and you know, celebrities sometimes on this platform, not because, you know, this is a celebrity platform, but because I think that it is important to highlight great things, you know, even if whether it's on the local level with our next door neighbor, but also with some of these celebrities who go above and beyond. You know, a lot of people say like they have it, so, you know, it's their duty. But it's all of our duties to step in to help each other. Of course, the rapper and the singer might have more funds to allocate toward that. But I mean, they could be doing whatever with their money. They could be making it rain in the strip clubs. They could be, you know, purchasing, you know, Maseratis and Bugattis and whatnot just to keep in their garage. They could be doing a lot of other things with the money. But to see, you know, people assist each other in this manner is a beautiful thing. So big up to Trey the Truth. I have never in my life heard of him or his music, but I will tune in. Hopefully it's good. And even if it's not good, he did a good thing, right? He did a good thing by helping this kid out. So now with every high, you guys know that there is a low. And this week's low goes to both the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, and the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. Now, both of these states are notorious for being in the news for tomfoolery. I'm trying to do my best to not curse on this platform because I do want this to be heard by all parties. But, you know, there's a lot of crap going on in a lot of these states, especially these two states, Florida and Texas, are always at the forefront of mess. They are always a hot mess. It just, and you know, there was a point in time when I had thought about, oh, maybe I'll move to Texas. You know, maybe I'll go to Houston so I could be more with my people, you know, be in a progressive Black community. But then you have to sit back and think, like, you know, at what cost? My dignity, my civil liberties, my personhood. Like, why am I moving to Texas? What am I doing? Especially when they're constantly in the news for like BS, right? But either way. So as I had stated earlier in the show, the CDC, you know, has flip-flopped And now they are coming back saying, well, everybody needs to keep the masks on because the Delta variant is all over the place. It's aggressive. It's as contagious as the chicken pox. So we need everybody, whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, to keep your masks on, right? So in light of the CDC guidance and, you know, recommendation, the governor of Texas and Florida was like, not us. You are not about to bring us back. We are not about to retrace. We are living our best lives. We don't even believe in this, you know, virus situation anyways. We don't believe that we need to be told what to do when it comes to our bodies and when it comes to our faces and when it comes to, you know, our livelihoods. We are not going to force people to put on their masks, right? And not only will we not force them, we are going to ban mask mandates, and we are going to threaten, and we are going to fine local businesses, schools, and anyone who imposes a mask mandate on the citizens of Texas and Florida. DeSantis was actually in the news on a separate matter because schools are opening, right? Schools are opening, and we know schools are congested. We know that these schools are overrun. They have, you know, their numbers are high. Most of these schools have like thousands of students upon thousands of students in attendance each and every day. He is saying that these kids do not need to wear masks. And if you try to make them, there will be repercussions. Now, I find this to be ludicrous, obviously, but this is where we are. This is where we are. When the governors of these states, right, technically the heads of these states are coming out and saying, not only are we not encouraging people to wear masks, we are going to fine anybody who does. So if I am a business and I say that you need to wear a mask in order to come into my establishment, I can get fined. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? So they get the womp womp of the week because we are still clearly in a global pandemic. The masks should never have been, you know, removed to begin with. So womp womp for CDC as well, too. We're just handing out womp womps today. Womp womp for CDC, womp womp for World Health Organization. But womp womp to Governor Abbott and DeSantis for imposing a ban against the mask mandates. Like, this is ridiculous. It will be interesting to see the spike that's going to occur in these two states. I mean, I'm praying that there is no crazy death toll, but I mean, I don't know. Either way, they get the womp womp of the week. So we are now on to the meat of the show. And as I had stated in the introductory portion of today's show, we were going to be talking about Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles and their recent decisions to step away from their sports events and meets to focus on their mental health. So for those of you who are not aware with either story, Naomi Osaka, I believe it might have been about a month ago, or has it been 2 months? I'm not sure. She had stepped away from the French Open, so she did not compete in the French Open. And she had also withdrawn from the Wimbledon, which, you know, the French Open, the Wimbledon, these are the creme de la creme of competitions. These are the real deal competitions. You know, the average person, right? The average athlete is not stepping away, or the average tennis player, to put it more into context, is not stepping away from Wimbledon and French Open. Like, these are the events. These are the competitions of, like, the year, right? So she stepped away from both and stated that she needed to focus on her mental health. Now, for those of you who have observed Naomi, you know, she is somebody who appears to be very shy, I don't want to say timid, but somebody who's very shy, who's not really about the limelight, who's not really about, you know, all of the glitz and glam when it comes to you know, just being in the forefront, right? She seems like she's a more reserved person and likes to really, you know, be to herself, or at least not be in, you know, the forefront, not be in the limelight. And so she decided to take that time to focus on herself. And it was a really big deal, because for those of us who understand the sport of tennis and who understand like the impact, right, all of this had, this was a huge decision on her part to do this, to be brave enough to step away. And because of this, because of her decision to focus on herself and to focus on her mental health primarily, she has received a lot of backlash. And in fact, it was, I believe, you know, either a week or two ago, Megyn Kelly, who a lot of us know to be just an ignoramus, right? Who I forgot what it was that she was withdrawn from, but she is a journalist, if you want to call it that, and a commentator. And she came out to criticize Osaka. And so I believe what sparked this was that Osaka was on the cover of Sports Illustrated and was seen on the cover of Vogue. And these were recent publications. And somebody on Twitter, you know, made a comment along the lines of, you know, she cited, you know, that she needed to take a break because she didn't want to do news interviews and be out in the limelight and do all this other stuff. But here she is posing for Sports Illustrated and posing for Vogue. And Megyn Kelly apparently commented even more so on, you know, on the fact that, well, you know, she's done other things as well, too. Like, she was recently featured in this magazine and in that magazine. So essentially saying that for somebody who claims that she didn't want to be in the limelight and that she needed to take a break from news interviews and to focus on her mental health and to not be out there in the open, she's sure doing a lot of, you know, press like activity. And I think, oh, I actually have the tweet right here. So this individual called Clay Travis, who has a verified check mark, I don't know who the hell he is, says, since saying she's too introverted to talk to the media about tennis after her tennis matches, Naomi Osaka has launched a reality show, a Barbie, and now is on the cover of a Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. And then Megyn Kelly, who's also verified, states, let's not forget the cover of an interview in Vogue Japan and Time Mag, right? So Naomi Osaka responded, as she often does. Again, she is an introverted person. She is, you know, shy, I think, when it comes to certain things. But I don't think she is not timid when it comes to defending herself and standing up for herself. But essentially, Naomi clapped back, as she is known to do when people, you know, don't get facts straight about her. And she stated this, seeing, and this is to Megyn Kelly, seeing as you're a journalist, I would have assumed you would take the time to research what the lead times are for magazines. If you did that, you would have found I shot all of my covers last year. Instead, your first reaction is to hop on here and spew negativity. Do better, Megyn. Right? So now, you know, this and this is the problem, and this is the issue that I see in our society, right? I mean, what Naomi said was on point. Her clap back to Megyn was on point. As somebody who is allegedly a journalist, right, you would think that instead of just jumping on the bandwagon of criticism, that you would do a little research to see, huh, let's look to see when these magazines, you know, took place, right? When these magazine covers were shot, when these interviews were taken, before I just go on and criticize another woman, right? But she didn't do that. But in order for Megyn to have taken the time to research, I feel like there would have had to be a level of respect, right? There would have had to be a level of understanding, like, let me give this young woman some grace. Let's see what the bigger issue is. Let's see if there is an issue. Let me go back and check my facts before I go and publicly criticize this young woman, this young athlete of color. But she didn't do that. And Megan has been dragged for, you know, speaking ill of the community and for being disrespectful to the Black community on numerous occasions, right? But this is where the danger comes in. And this is not just for Megyn Kelly, who is this white lady troll, but this is for all of us, right? A lot of times, instead of stepping back and looking at the facts or looking for facts, right, before we decide to jump on social media or whatever and cast our opinions on people and their mental health and what we think the real deal is, we don't take the time to investigate. We don't take the time to research. But even outside of researching and going through all of that, I mean, we don't give people the benefit of the doubt anymore, right? I mean, it's many in the community that criticized Osaka as well too, saying, you know, she's out here in these streets, she's doing all this stuff, she's being pictured with her boyfriend, but yet she stepped away from tennis, claiming that she has mental health concerns, but it doesn't look like she's having mental health concerns because she's out here in these streets. We don't know what people's, you know, thresholds are when it comes to mental health, right? What we see as out here in these streets and living a good life might not be that at all. It might not be that at all. Or maybe that being out in the streets that we're observing is a way that she is coping with her mental health, right? So I think that, you know, in the Naomi Osaka case, you know, as a young woman who has been thrown into the forefront, right, ever since she had won against Serena, she has been thrown into the forefront. And she has, you know, the responsibility of being, you know, now the new Serena, right? Like, these things can cause a lot of mental anguish. Because this is her job, this is her profession, this is her craft, right? And it's a sporting event. There's always somebody who is looking to be, you know, the next winner, right? So this type of competitive sports, it can weigh on somebody. And for somebody with her disposition, I can totally understand why she needs to step back. But what I acknowledge and what I commend her for is the courage to do so, right? Because many of us, in our regular lives, we endure certain things that, you know, break us each and every day, right? And instead of standing up for ourselves, advocating for ourselves and taking a step back, we continue to succumb to community pressure. We continue to succumb to these expectations, a lot of times unreasonable expectations of who we need to be and what we need to do. And we do not have the courage to stand up and say, enough is enough, I choose me. Now, in the case of Simone Biles, which is the most recent of this, she is currently, right, in the Tokyo Olympics, has withdrawn from several competitions, right? The uneven bars, the vault, which was a team sport. The uneven bars, I believe, was individual. And I also had recently read that she had also withdrawn from the floor exercises. And those of you who follow gymnastics, right, know that Simone Biles is the GOAT, right? Back in my day, which is not that far, you know, that long ago, we talked about Dominique Dawes, right? We had I forgot her name, Gabby. I forgot her last name. Damn it. I can't remember her last name. But we had, you know, we've had Black women icons and GOATs, right, in this field of gymnastics. But now we have, you know, Simone Biles, who's been dominating since, I think, 2013. Young woman. And it was the same breakdown, right? Where, I mean, with Simone Biles, there were a lot of things going on. You know, there was the unfair scoring because she's so amazing and she's able to do all of these tricks that most people cannot accomplish. So she was not getting scored fairly. Off the strength of her just being too good, right? So there's that, and that can play on your mental health. But just really just the pressures. There was just, you know, there's so much going on with these young women and in these sports, right? And I believe her coach even came out and acknowledged that, you know, he had put a lot of pressure on Simone and expected her to really bring in the wins, right? He didn't actually establish or formulate the U.S. team in a manner of which the strongest were competing. He really put it together in a way where it's like, eh, you know, we'll invite these individuals to be on the team, but we know that Simone got this. So really, we're just expecting Simone to bring us in for the win. You know, all these other people, they're great, but he didn't bring on the highest scorers. He assembled the team the way that he did with the notion and with the confidence that Simone was going to be the one to bring them over anyway. So he didn't need to have like a good number two or a good number three. And that's pressure. And so I commend Simone as well for being able to step back in the middle of the Tokyo Olympics, right? It's not like she was practicing one day, getting ready for the Olympics and was like, you know what, guys, I think I'm going to bow out. Like, she is in the height of it. She is in the thick of it. And she decided that she was going to bow out, that something is off. She's not performing the way that she needs to perform. Her mental is off. And with a sport like gymnastics, if your mental is off, you can snap your neck. You can essentially die, right? From some of these injuries, right? You're flipping in the air and you snap on your neck like you're done. So these are serious sports. And a lot of times I find that the people who are criticizing these athletes, and when I say athletes, I'm really referring to athletes of color, are individuals who have never left their couch, who have never played a sport in their lives, who can barely walk down the block without huffing and puffing. Like, you can't even do what these people are doing, but yet you have so much to say about the fact that they're traitors, the fact that they're sellouts, and the fact that they let down America by their decision to step away and focus on them. And that's a lot of what I've been seeing and hearing with respect to Simone Biles, because we are currently in Olympic season and she walked away, leaving her team to have to figure it out. But you know what? At the end of the day, it will always get figured out, right? It would always work out at the end of the day. And you can't be too concerned about what people will do, you know, in your absence, if we're talking about the need to step away for your mental health. And so I truly, truly find that what Naomi has done, what Simone Biles has done, is an act of bravery and an act of courage. But I think that it also serves as an example that if these individuals, these athletes, can walk away from, you know, life-changing, career-changing events, right, to take the time to focus on their mental health, who are we to not do the same, right? And it's not to compare, but it's just to show that these women are at the height of their careers and in the middle of, you know, the Olympics decides, you know what, I can't go any further. I need to step back. I think they serve as role models and they're, in a sense, sheroes to many of us who have felt that we need to take a break, we need to step back, we need to just like disappear for a moment and withdraw in order for us to continue living, right? So I really found them to be powerful. I found those to be powerful examples. I found what they did to really serve as great examples to all of us who are feeling as if we are hanging on by a thread. And, you know, to the critics out there who criticize them and question their loyalty to their sport and to America or to whatever country that they're representing. And, you know, shame on you. Shame on you for criticizing these young women who decided to take their mental health seriously, right? Shame on you for being part of the problem. We have a big issue in this country, and I think even globally, in which we as a society do not acknowledge the seriousness of mental health and mental illness, right? In fact, we think it's a joke. We think that people are faking. We think that people are lying. We think that people are using it as a cop-out or an excuse to not do certain things or to not measure up to certain expectations. And we have to stop. And, you know, this, I guess, segues into my discussion on how we as a community need to do better. We have to do better. And I say that because for me personally, I've spoken about mental health and mental illness on numerous platforms. On Black Ivy Media, we have live panels and panel discussions and conversations and posts on mental health all the time. On my podcast, Frida's World, which I had taken a little break from, but we'll be getting back to, shameless plug, we talk about wellness and, you know, mental health and things of that nature all the time, right? And even on this platform, on According to RP, we talk about the importance of mental health and you know, wellness and whatnot as well, you know, here and there on this platform. And the reason that I'm so focused on this topic is because I am somebody who has dealt with depression and anxiety my entire life. Like, I remember as a child, you know, feeling depressed and feeling anxious, but I didn't really know that that's what it was because our communities fail to address these issues. And in fact, our community not only fails to address the issues, but if you were to even bring it up to say something like, oh, I'm feeling depressed or I'm feeling anxious, the community looks at you like you're crazy and that you're making it up and like, no, you're not depressed. You're just going through this. So you're just doing that. Oh, you're not anxious. Like, you know, this is what's happening. And they diminish your experience and they make you feel as if you're crazy or you're being too much or you're being extra. And I've seen this time and time again, and it's happened to me because I am not somebody who acknowledges publicly for the most part that, oh, I'm depressed. In fact, I can literally be depressed, but will say, I don't think so. I think it's something else because it's hard to move forward and to talk about something that you don't get support on. And what I mean by that is you mention to your friend or your family members that I think I'm depressed. This is what's going on. And their response is, girl, you're not depressed. Girl, please. You know, you're not depressed. Ah, you know, what do you need to be depressed about? You have this going on. You have that going on. You're doing amazing at work. You're a great mom. You're doing the podcasts. You're doing the IG lives. You know, you have Black Ivy Media. You have all of these different things. What do you have to be depressed about? And so as somebody who might be going through depression is met by that type of rhetoric, you know, of course you're going to stay to yourself. Of course, you're going to keep your thoughts to yourself. Of course, the next time you feel like you're on the edge and that you need someone to just reach back, you know, reach out and grab you, that you're just going to let yourself go. You know, suicide is a topic that we, for whatever reason, do not like talking about in our community. And I understand 100% why people commit suicide. And a lot of times, those same people who have committed suicide reached out. They might have said, I'm feeling a little depressed. It takes so much courage to come out your face and tell people that I think I'm depressed. And it's not even that you think, you know you're depressed, but to soften the blow a little bit, you say, I think I'm depressed, because you don't know what the reaction's going to be. And you're so fragile at that moment that you cannot take somebody diminishing your experience or saying, girl, go sit down. You're not depressed. You're just tired, or you're just overworked, or you're just overwhelmed. You don't want to hear that. You're too fragile to be, what's the word? To be dismissed by the people that you feel are your safety net, right? You don't want to be played. You don't want to feel like you're playing yourself by asking for help, because the help that you're asking for, people don't understand it. And people look at your life and they see that you're doing so well, but they don't understand that your outward manifestations can be only a cover up, right, to what you're doing inside. We overcompensate. I am somebody who is team too much. I am doing 5 things at one time, and there are times where I need to just step back because it's too much. But then when you explain that to people, they're like, girl, what are you talking about? What are you doing? What are you this? And then it's like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to keep my feelings to myself. And thank God, you know, I have my belief system. And then I do have the friends, although they still want to be like, I don't think so, girl. But, you know, it's whatever they do give me is enough for me to be like, okay, you know, I can figure this out. I can move forward, or I can be depressed, but I know that I'm going to get out of this, right? But that's me. But there are people who they've reached out, they had the cry for help. But the community, because we don't understand depression, we don't understand anxiety, we think that it's made up, we think that people are faking, we think that people are looking for attention, we don't react, right? We don't give the necessary responses. And so that person's like, you know what? I guess it's time for me to go. I'm going to kill myself. This is the best solution for me right now to cope with the pain, with the sadness, with the hurt that I am living with every single day. And then the community wants to come out and be like, oh my gosh, I wish somebody told me. I wish somebody knew. I wish, oh man, he didn't have to go out like that, or she didn't have to go out like that. There were options. What options? We came and told you we're depressed and you dismissed us and said that we are bugging, that we have such a beautiful life. Why on earth would we be this depressed? And if you are depressed, snap out of it, because you have so many things going for you. Why would, like, what options? What options? You weren't there. And instead of saying, well, okay, you're depressed, what's making you depressed? Talk to me. Instead of just sitting there and maybe listening without offering any advice or statements, you dismiss the person and you tell them, girl, you bugging. Boy, you bugging. Go sit down. Go do something else. Your life is perfect. We have to be careful, community, on how we deal with each other. Are there people who are team too much in these streets? Of course. Are there people who are looking for attention? Of course. Are there the people, you know, the boy that cried wolf? Of course. But you know what? I would rather us, you know, you get duped in quotations, if that's how you want to see it, by that person who cries wolf each and every time, than to miss out on a true cry for help. Because we are literally dying every single day. We are literally going through stuff, and it's hard. It's difficult. And the picture perfect life that you see that person is living, it's not picture perfect on their inside. Like for me personally, I do a lot, and I think I do a lot subconsciously to mask whatever it is that I'm going through. Feelings of inadequacy are real. And I feel like the more successful you appear to be, or the more successful you strive to be, the more insecurities you come across, right? The sense of inadequacy, that I don't feel like I'm good enough, like these are real thoughts that people experience, even though they're at the height of their game. But they're going through that because you don't know what their childhood was like. You don't know what the messaging of their life was like. You don't know that some people every day have to look in the mirror and say, I am great. I am beautiful. I am strong. Like this, you know, we see these things on television and we laugh at them, but there are people who have to look in the mirror every day as their routine to tell themselves that they're great. They have to. And it doesn't matter how many people tell you that you're great and that you're amazing, that you're awesome. It doesn't matter how many people that you come across that praise you. It's about what you think of yourself. If I don't think that I'm worthy, and if I don't think that I'm wonderful, and if I don't think that I'm amazing, I don't care what you say. You can tell me that I am great every single day, but if I don't feel it, for myself, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And I think that we, you know, we have this bandwagon thing that's going on where everybody wants to talk about mental health. Everybody wants to talk about mental illness and everybody wants to talk about raising awareness, but we're not really talking about the nitty gritty of it. Putting up a post saying, you know what, check on your strong friend, that's not enough. We need to really dissect into the mindset. And maybe that calls for more people who are depressed to acknowledge that they're depressed and to talk about the process of their depression. Maybe that's what the community needs to really see. But I feel like unless it's like a celebrity that comes out and says, guys, I'm depressed, let me tell you what's going on. Like, for example, Naomi Osaka, Simone Biles. Now everybody's talking about it. Everybody is like, wow, we sympathize. Courage. But if your next door neighbor were to come and say, I quit my job because the depression was killing me, I can tell you that a lot of people would have been like, girl, you crazy. Suck that up. Go to church. Pray. Like, what are you depressed about? You're bugging. We have to do better. And I think the reason that I'm harping on this even more so is because we are still in the middle of a global pandemic. And anxiety is real on so many fronts. Anxiety is real. Depression is real. People are depressed. It's going to be 2 years since we were in this mess. Life as we know it changed over a weekend. Friday you were at work, Monday you were not. And a lot of us have been home ever since. And many might say, oh, you're lucky, you get to work from home. You don't understand the mental gymnastics and that goes on a daily basis in my mind. Right? Having a job that was great, paying well, wow, on the road to emotion, you know, to financial freedom, to having to lose that job. And then getting another one, but that's nowhere near, you know, what you were doing before. And of course, you're grateful. You have to be grateful for the things that God's doing in your life. And you have to remember that sometimes things happen for a reason. But it's hard to think like that when you are depressed. When you are not feeling adequate enough, it's hard. It's difficult. And this Delta variant is increasing anxiety amongst people. I literally had a panic attack three or four nights ago, because it's Sunday and I can't keep track of the dates. And the cause of this panic attack was that I was around people, you know, last Sunday, people that I know, mind you. I had my mask on, social distancing, but because I was like out of my normal bubble, because I only really hang out with like two or three people here and there that I trust their hygiene practices, the fact that I was around, you know, a few more people, I felt like I had a sore throat. I was fatigued. Things that typically happen, because I always have sore throats. Prior to the pandemic, I always had a sore throat. I'm always tired. But in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, I caught the Delta. And I am still getting over my last COVID bit from end of April, mind you. I'm a long hauler. So in my mind, I'm like, I think I have COVID again. And if I get COVID again, I am not going to make it this time. These are real thoughts. And I literally had a panic attack and could not sleep. And I had to get tested the next day. Thank God I'm fine. But this is real stuff. And this plays on in your daily life, right? Because this anxiety impacts work, because I have to be present for work, because if I'm not performing at work, I'm going to lose my job again. And I can't live on unemployment because the bills need to be paid. There's no rebates, and there's no programs like there was last year. Like, all of this is stressful. And then, you know, there are people who are like, just give it to God. Give it to God. Don't worry. Don't stress. It's easier said than done, especially if you're somebody who has been wired to be this way. So as a community, we need to up our education on mental health. We need to have more conversations that are in depth and not just surface about what mental health and what mental illness is and how it affects people. We need to be listeners as opposed to commentators. We need to give grace to our friends and family members. We need to believe our friends and family members when they say that they are depressed or they are anxious and that this is affecting them. We need to be true supporters of each other. We need to do better. Because at the rate that we're going now, I have not heard what the suicide numbers are, but I can tell you this, if we end up going into another mini lockdown even, it's going to get real. It's going to get real because people are at their breaking point. This is why we're seeing so many people traveling and whatnot. It's not even because I think they're trying to just do the most. People really need to change their scenery because they feel like if they stay where they are for just one more second, they are going to snap. They are going to lose it, and they might not be able to come back from that. So I said a lot. I said a lot today, but I really do hope that you guys take what I'm saying into consideration. I hope that you guys are listening, and I hope that you guys are starting to think about ways you can do better towards each other. What you see on Instagram, what you see even in real life, what you see hanging with me is not always what it truly is. A lot of us have been really great at masking our pain. We've been really good at just, I'm fine, I'm good. We've been really good at just moving forward and not acknowledging ourselves. And a lot of that is because we're in a community that doesn't believe that people can really experience depression and anxiety. And so I need to keep up the appearance that I'm doing well because I'm not going to get help from you anyways. And we need to change that. We need to truly be 100 with each other, and we need to truly support each other in life. Like, life is hard. This is hard. This is not easy. And so with that being said, I will likely be taking a 2-week break from According to RP. I can't say from everything else because I do have other things that were lined up, and I do want to move forward with the activities and stuff that I have put together for Black Ivy Media. Shameless plug again, if you are not following us, please do so on Instagram at Black Ivy Media. We have a couple of things coming up, but in terms of figuring out what to keep on my plate, what to not keep on my plate, you know, when it comes to choosing myself and to creating a schedule that is no longer overwhelming, I need to step back from a couple of things and to look at the bigger picture. Because at the end of the day, if I do not protect myself and my mental health, who else will? So I hope that you guys have an amazing, amazing, amazing next 2 weeks. And who knows, maybe it might just be a week without me. I know you guys can't live without this voice for too long, but I am going to take a step back for a couple of weeks to reevaluate what I'm doing, to look to see, you know, if I have the true capacity to move forward with everything that I have on my plate and to deal with, you know, these anxieties that has been brought on even more so because of this pandemic, because of life changes. So I hope that you guys do the same, though. I hope that you guys also take time for yourselves. You know, a lot of people are counting on you. They're counting on me. But as a couple of my friends like to say, you cannot pour from an empty cup. And at this point, my cup is empty. So have a great 2 weeks. And with that being said, I'll talk to you guys when I get back.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.